Today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 6, and the title of the message is Seven Things God Hates, but today we're going to look at the sin of pride. Passage, verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And the first one is a proud look. So we're going to look at the sin of pride this morning under a series of seven things God hates. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the passage. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together. Thank you for those who have come to be with us today. I pray that each one would be able to look at his own heart and see if there's any pride there that needs to be washed away. Father, we thank you for your blessings in our life, and we thank you that you love us, each and every one, and that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And I ask God for your blessings on the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Again, I'll give you a few quotes here that I looked up as I was thinking about pride. And the first one is, "Every man would like to be God if it were possible." Think about that. Every man would like to be God if possible. "Some few find it difficult to admit the impossibility." Think about that. Some few find it difficult to admit the impossibility of that. In other words, there's a lot of people who want to be... Now, you may think, "Oh, I don't want to be God." How many times do you want to be in control of your life? How many times do you want to be the one that sets the direction? When you start to set the direction and you set God aside in your life, you want to be God. You want to be in control. You want to run things. So the next one, I thought this one is very appropriate for the time of year. As I walk out and I look at my yard and I see what's starting to come up in my yard, some of you have the same thing coming up in your yard. Pride is the dandelion of the soul. Think about that. Pride is the dandelion of the soul. Its roots goes deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness. So as I walk out in my yard, I see all those dandelions sprouting up. You know, it doesn't matter how many times I try and spray them, they just keep coming back. And that's kind of what pride is like in our life. Pride will just keep coming back in our life. It's something we need to be continually striving to not be proud. And the person who says, "I'm not proud," is the first one to look at and say, "You are proud." So the person who says, "I'm completely humble," is a proud person. Pride is one of those sins that it's really hard at times to find in our own life. We can see pride in everybody else's life, but pride is often hard to see in our own life. That's just the nature of pride. So let's just read through verses 16 and 17. Those are the verses we're going to be looking at again. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." There are things we can do in our lives that God hates. Most of us don't really want to go there, to believe that we would do, if you're Christian, to think that I do things that God hates. We don't really want to admit that. Hate goes beyond a casual dislike for something. When it says that God hates, that goes beyond a casual dislike of that. In fact, Solomon goes beyond the word hate and says God not only hates these things, he says that they're an abomination unto him. So not only does he hate them, they're an abomination. In our English, you might understand the word better if we said a disgusting thing. Now, I didn't want to bring up too many disgusting things this morning. You know, you might have something in your mind. You know, whenever I think of that, the first thing that comes up to me is liver. Now, some of you might love liver, but to me, liver is a disgusting thing. You know, one time I went to a buffet, and I was really dumb because I saw this meat with onions, and I thought, oh, I love onions and meat. And so I scoop some up, and I get back, and I start to eat it, and it's liver. And it's like, oh, I like the onions, but the liver is just like a gross thing. Disgusting. Now, some of you might be backwards and think things like, you know, peanut butter. Some people think peanut butter is the disgusting thing. You know, I love peanut butter, but, you know, there's some people that, you know, it depends on each person. But you know what? God has certain things. He's given them to us in His Word, and He says they're disgusting things. And pride in our life is one of those things. Pride is one of those. So God hates these things and also thinks they are disgusting. So, you know, another thing that's disgusting, my neighbor's pool. He set it up last year and he filled it about half full of water, and that's all the further he got. You know, how many of you want to come over and have a pool party in my neighbor's pool that's, I don't think it's had any chemicals in it for a year. You know, it's just kind of this green cesspool. You know, and it's like, who wants to go swimming in a swimming? That's disgusting. I mean, if I invited you over, hey, my neighbor said that we could go swimming in his pool. Come on over. It's 80 degrees today or 90 degrees today. You get there and think, I'm not doing that. That's disgusting. Let's go find a clean pool. So there are things that we think are disgusting. And when we think of those disgusting things and you think, ooh, I wouldn't do that. Just think of the way God looks at our pride in our life. And the way you might look at that pool and think, oh, I would never get in there. That's what God thinks of the pride that we can have in our life. As much as we detest certain things, I mean, there might be sins that we look at and say, that's detestable. I would never get involved in that. As much as we detest those things, God hates and detests them more than we do. And with pride, it's obvious because all of us fall prey. All of us fall into the sin of pride. And so it's obvious that God detests pride more than we do ourselves. The way the writer states six things, yea, seven, carries the idea that this is not a complete list. You know, when you think of the things that God hates, obviously they're not all listed. These seven things are not only the only seven things that God hates and disgust Him. So, when we consider these seven sins, it should be clear to us that these are characteristics of Satan. Pride is a characteristic of Satan. These sins, as we go through them, and today we're looking at pride, are the direct opposite of what we should be as a Christian. They are the direct opposite. They are not Christ-likeness in our life. So they should have no part in our life. I think if we're honest, we all fall for the first sin in the list. You know, we might not all shed innocent blood, at least not physically. We might do that. Some of you have done that in your heart. What does Jesus say about your heart? Yeah, it's just the same as you're doing it. And you know, when you glare at somebody because of something they did. So let me just say, there's no evil like pride. There's no evil like pride. Pride is the beginning. This is another quote. Pride is the beginning of sin. The song that Nick sang, I didn't know he was singing that song, and he didn't know I was preaching this message because I didn't decide on it till later in the week. But so Nick's song began with pride there. Pride is the beginning of sin, the first impulse and the movement toward evil. It starts with pride. Sin in our life starts with pride. Perhaps indeed it is both the root and the foundation, for every sin begins from it and is maintained by it. So sin begins with pride and it's maintained by pride. When you just won't, you know, maybe you're confronted with sin and you just won't back off. That's pride. You ever been in an argument with somebody and know you're wrong and you just won't say you were wrong and you just keep going with the anger? That's pride. So pride just maintains sin. From pride springs contempt. This is still a quotation. Springs contempt of the poor, desires of riches, the love of power, the longing for much glory. So pride is an evil in our life. So we're going to look at a proud look. The first thing that the Lord hates is an attitude that is carried out in an action. I'm sure you've all seen at one time somebody, you know, you hear the saying to look down the nose at somebody. And, you know, you've seen that. And maybe that's not always carried out. Our pride isn't always carried out in a look. But often people look down their noses, even if they're not doing it outwardly, they're doing it inwardly. They look at other people in a different situation than themselves, and they look down their noses at them. They see them as lower than they are. And, you know, that comes in many different areas. That comes in race. You know, people look down at other races. Why do we have so many problems in our world concerning race? Because people look down their noses at other races. And we know that Genesis teaches that we're all part of the same race. We are all the same race, no matter what color we are. And people in pride look down at other people in so many different areas. Economic situations, all different types of ways people look down their noses at other people. And this idea of a proud look is that idea of me thinking I'm better than the next person. There must be pride on the inside before it's manifests itself on the proud look. You know, before you have that proud look, there's pride in the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So, pride comes from wickedness in our heart. When we have pride in our life, we have wickedness in our heart. How bad is pride? Well, Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Again, the same idea. Proverbs 16:5, "Everyone that is proud in heart." You know, Christian, if you're proud in your heart, that sin is an abomination to the Lord. Oh, we should strive as Christians to just rip out all the pride. We need to ask for God's help. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit's help because we tend to be proud people. As Americans, we tend to be proud people. We're the proudest nation on earth. You know what? Praise God that we live here, but it's because of His grace that we live here. You could have been born in Central Africa. It's only by God's grace that we live in this country. And so we should humbly say, "Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live here." The attitude of pride, the word proud in the Hebrew means to be lifted up. It's the inner desire in a person to believe that is superior to another. That inner desire in a person to believe that he's superior to another. All of you been there. All of you have at times believed that you're superior to somebody else for some reason. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. And let's look at verse 12 through 15. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So the attitude of pride. Satan was the first to be lifted up with pride. Notice verses 13 and 14. Satan said, I will ascend. I will exalt. I will ascend above the heights. I will be like the Most High. Pride comes when you think more highly of yourself than you should. Obviously, Satan said, I will be like God. I will be better than God. Satan thought that he could be greater than the God who created him. You know, and when we take control of our lives and we say, I, you know, too often we get I into our life too much. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Ezekiel 28:17 says this, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. So Satan looked at his beauty. Thou hast corrupted the wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. God had created Satan or Lucifer, a beautiful being. Who knows, maybe one of the most beautiful beings ever created. And he created him beautiful, but Satan used the beauty as a reason for pride. He was created beautiful, but because of his beauty, he became proud. I remember in school, there were always the people, you know, you were all young people at one time. Can you remember back to high school? Any of you remember back that far? Maybe some of you aren't. Anybody, maybe you didn't go to high school. I don't know. But if you go back to high school, you can remember that they were, maybe you were one of these people. You know, Christians can be one of these people too. But there were always the people that thought they were, the girls that thought they were beauty queens. You remember those girls? They thought they were beauty queens. And they thought they were better than everybody else. You know, there were years I thought, you know, they're so, some of you are smitten too. You thought, and then you realized later on. And it's not just the girls who are lifting up with pride either. There are the guys who walked around thinking they were Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, you remember those guys? You know, they kind of walked around with their, you know, like this, and they always, you know, tried to make themselves look like they had a lot of muscle, and they just kind of strutted down the hallway. You all know those guys. You all remember seeing those guys, and you know, you go and see some young men these days, 19-year-olds, and you see them walking around like that. They're trying to, their head is just so swelled up with pride. They think they're all the stuff. You know, back in high school, there were a lot of people that thought outside appearance was what mattered. There's maybe a time in your life where you thought the outside appearance was what mattered. Even though Satan was beautiful, he was not on the inside because his heart became lifted up with pride. You know, as years went by, many of those people that were popular in school, they didn't amount to much. You know, some of them, their lives turned to drugs and alcohol, and some of them that I know of, they died pretty early in life. Or you look and you see maybe in a reunion, I've never gone to any reunions, but sometimes through that type of a social media thing, you see them and you think, man, you know, their lives are just destroyed. And they might be people who made a lot of money, but they're on their third or fourth marriage. And, you know, their lives are just messed up. What pride does to a people. In the end, Satan will lose. Because God does not look on, God may create somebody beautiful. You know, it's a truth. God creates people and some of them are better looking than others. You know, I can look out there and there are better looking people than me. I don't have a problem saying it. But that's not what God looks at. That's not what God cares about. He cares about each person's heart. Pride not only comes from looks, it comes from prosperity. In the end, Satan will lose. His outward appearance will have nothing, no sway in the matter. And pride from prosperity will also, those who are proud because of prosperity will also lose. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Just before the nation of Israel entered the promised land, God warned them about pride because of prosperity. This is the younger generation. All the older generation has died. And God is now talking to the younger generation that's going to go into the promised land. And that's who he's talking to in Deuteronomy. And this is just before they enter the promised land. Deuteronomy 8, and let's look at verse 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So, you can see that. We can go through the scripture and see, yeah, God blessed them. They had all the blessings, earthly blessings that they could have, but when they did that, when God gave them all those blessings, God says, they're going to forget me. Because material possessions often lead people to forget God. You can see that in our nation. When people move to our nation, often they were heavily reliant upon God. In fact, many of them moved here for religious freedom. But as our nation has become more and more prosperous, what has happened? They have turned their back upon God. See, often prosperity isn't always a good thing. Many people want to be prosperous, but prosperity can be a negative thing in life. We must continually remind ourselves that all that we have or are is because of God's amazing grace in our life, because of God's mercy. How do you fight pride when we're so prosperous as a nation? God, all of this is yours. Everything that I have, my car, my land, my home, my food, everything that I have is because of you. It's because of your grace. It's not because, you know, if I excel in sports, which I can't, God didn't give me any coordination. I was never good in sports. So I don't have to worry about pride in that area. But if God made you a great athlete, people get lifted up because of that. Pride. If God made you good at whatever, in business, people want to think, oh, look what I've done in business. Well, it's because God has given you that. And all of that, we aren't to take that and say, oh, look at how good I am. Way to stop pride and say, God, you are so gracious to me. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this, but because of your grace, you've bestowed this on me. And Lord, help me to use it for your glory and for your honor, because those things will lead us to pride. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? And if thou hast not received it? So, basically it's saying everything that you have is a gift from God. And why would you glory in something that's a gift? Because God has given you it. Satan's pride came from his beauty, and Israel's pride came from prosperity. Think of that. And they were both a gift from God. So pride can sprout up in many areas of our life. Turn to Luke chapter 18. The Pharisees' pride because of their adherence to religious rules. Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You can see the pride right there in this description. They trusted in who? God? No, they trusted in themselves. They were self-made people, that they were righteous. They trusted in their own righteousness and despised others who were not as righteous as them. Okay? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, a man standing over here that he saw as a sinner. Now he lists all the things that he does. Remember, these are works that he does. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, the sinner, the guy that he saw as a sinner, the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. He was humble, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, the sinner. The guy who said, I'm a sinner, was humble before God. That this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, too often we look down on others because we see, we just like the Pharisee, Lord, I do this, I do this, I do this, and look at those evil sinners over there. The right attitude is to be like the publican because we're all sinners. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thankfully, for some of you, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need to be saved from my sin. You know, and once, if you've been saved from your sin, we have no right to look down at other people as sinners. We can see their sin, but what should our attitude be? Lord, how can I reach that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, they are lost in sin just like as I was once lost in sin. And we should not be looking down on people in pride. We should be saying, God, help me to reach them with the gospel. Help me to love them the way you love them and died and paid their sin price on the cross. Pride comes in many forms. I'm sure if we wanted to keep looking, we could find other reasons why people become proud. You know, God created Satan, a beautiful being. Yet when he looked in the mirror, his head swelled up with pride. Another quote, if your child should have rapid growth in his arms, but not in his legs, or if his legs should lengthen, but is not his arms, that'd be strange, wouldn't it? It is the growth of each limb in proportion that brings men to perfection. So when our heads grow faster than our hearts, it's an ill sign. We're talking about pride here. When our head gets swelled up with pride, when our head grows faster than our hearts, it's an ill sign. Yet how many know a great deal more than they feel and criticize much more than they believe? It's also an evil thing when a man's tongue grows bigger than his head, when he has more to say than he knows he does. Often people talk about things, you know, that they know little of. That's how gossip is. And we're going to talk about gossip coming forward here. Sowing discord. And often people spread tales about things they know nothing about. They were not there. And that's what destroys families. It destroys churches. And we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. If you don't want to hear about sowing discord, don't come in a few weeks, okay? But people talk about things they don't know anything about. Like Mr. Talkative in Pilgrim's Progress, he can talk about the road to heaven, but makes no progress on it himself. Are you that type of a Christian that can talk the talk, walk somewhat the walk, but make no progress in your Christian life? Again, 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Pride is really about three people. Who are they? Me, myself, and I. When we're proud, we are not thankful for all that God has done for us. We take those things which have been given us and act as if we had done something to deserve them. You know, and the older we get, sometimes you would think older people would be smarter. Sometimes they're not. You look at some of the kings in the Old Testament, they did great as young men. As they got older, they got, no, too many young, I don't say this word often, they got stupid. 2 Corinthians 32:25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. In other words, God had done, Hezekiah was known as one of the most godly kings. And God had blessed him greatly for being a godly king. And that's what that's saying. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up, therefore wrath came upon him. See, God had blessed him greatly, and he got to the point where, look at all that I've done. Look at all my glory. Look at all my money. Look at my storehouses. Look at my fortress. Look at everything that I have. Pride inflates our ego. Pride says, I have done all this. Humility says, all that I have and all that I am is only because of what God has done through me and for me. Pride is the opposite of humility, which is an attribute that we are to have in our life, and pride is the opposite of faith. Pride is relying upon self. Faith is relying upon God. I'm not going to turn there, but if you want a reference, Habakkuk 2:4, if you want a reference for that. Pride and faith are not compatible. Pride and faith are not compatible. Let me ask you a question. I don't even have to ask you. We all struggle with pride. Every last one of us struggle with pride. What's the answer? 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. See, the right type of being is exalted is when God exalts us. God does those things. And we can look back and say, I can't believe what God has done in my life. God has been so gracious. And we recognize everything that we have as his gift. And then when we recognize it, it's his gift, what do with gifts that God has given us? We give them back to him, either our abilities or our service or our money. We just give it all back to him. It's yours, God. Do with it as you want. I'll do with this as you want me to do. The gifts that you've given me physically or mentally, I want to give them to you because you gave them to me. The gifts that you've given me financially or even a athletic ability, Lord, I want to use it for you. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth, Lord, do I hate. Lord, help us today as your people. Help us to hate pride. Help us to through your Holy Spirit, seek it out in our life and seek to take the roots out completely. Father, we know that this side of heaven, where there will always be some pride in our life. But Lord, help each one of us to leave here with a desire to root it out. Lord, it will take from us even the desire to ask you, show me where I'm proud, Lord. Because our hearts are often deceitful and want to hide the sin that we love. Lord, we know from this passage that you hate pride. Help us to hate it in our own lives and ask for your grace to search out pride and to through your Holy Spirit's help in the Word, render it, to get rid of it in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.